The following is a production of Galactic Netcasts.
We interrupt this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object traveling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
This Earth of yours will be reduced to a burned out cinder.
This could be the beginning of the end for the human race. Human beings cower before the onslaught of these unearthly enemies.
It is Thursday, July 9th, 2015. Welcome to the Alien Invasion number 150. I almost said 115. 150, a production of Galactic Netcasts. I'm Dave Nelson. And joining me as always, two brand new cat owners, feline friends. It's Brad Ludwig and Anessa Moyens. You got to tell us the story of the cats. You guys just got two cats.
Well, we had been talking about getting a cat for a while, and we've gone a couple of times to look at cats at PetSmart because PetSmart works through the Lincoln County Humane Society. And I had gone the other day, and I saw a cat that I really liked, and she seemed really sweet. And so I was like, hey, we should totally go check her out the next day. So we went yesterday, next day being yesterday. And that cat wanted zero to do with us. She stayed hidden underneath her blanket. We tried to pet her and coax her to come out, but she wasn't having any of it. And so we were checking out the other kitties and really liked one named Blackie at the time. We since renamed her. And I'll tell the names here in a minute.
Okay.
So
I was going to ask you.
So we were like, oh, she seems sweet. Because as soon as we started petting her, she was just like, oh, yes, loving. And then she started licking our hands. And she was just a really sweet kitty. And at the other end of the lot of cats, there was a very vocal kitten that was named Axel. And after we checked out a few other cats and petted them and hung out with them for a bit, we decided to check out the vocal kitten and open the cage, and he like jumped out. He's like, yes, people. And we picked him up, and he just was all over Brad and I. Like, Brad and I stood next to each other, and Axel just climbed from one person to the other, just back and forth, very happy, purring, making biscuits, doing the kneading thing.
I've never heard that before. That's funny.
And so we were only going to get one cat, and then we decided to get two cats, and we're like, well, let's get Blackie and let's get Axel, because we figured with Blackie having come from a home that had multiple cats, but the cats, I guess some of them were mean and there was fighting, and so the owners had to give her up. And so we figured she'd have a better time of adjusting if we had another cat that was a kitten rather than another strange adult cat. And so we decided to take them home. We brought them home last night. And Blackie has been hiding in various places in Alex's room. But she lets us pet her, and she's just not quite ready to come and inspect the house. But the door is open. Axel's been running up and down the hallway and checking out every single room and trying to get into anything and everything that he could get into.
Two completely different personalities, sounds like.
Yes. And anyway, we've renamed the kitties. So Blackie is now Irene Cattler, and Axel is now Furlock Holmes.
Nice.
Named after the Sherlock Holmes characters, if people didn't guess, Irene Adler and Sherlock.
Sweet. So. All right.
And well, right, for the moment, Furlock is wearing a bow tie, but his collar is a little big, so we're going to put a smaller collar on him for the time being. But
all right.
Right now, he's quite dapper in his bow tie.
You need to get a bowler hat next, right? That's the kind of hat that Sherlock wears? The bowler? Not bowler.
That's a, well,
that's in, more of Watson.
Well, the bowler would be Watson.
Yeah.
Okay.
The deerstalker cap is the one that's associated with Sherlock.
That's
it. It was only worn by one actor once.
Okay.
And it just kind of stuck.
Stuck.
Well, it's kind of like the 3D glasses that number 10 wore.
Mm-hmm.
They stuck, and he only wore them once in like one episode.
And every single cosplayer out there
and
will put on a pair
cosplay,
of third.
And even the Funko Pop figurine of David Tennant's number 10 has the 3D glasses.
It's funny how something like that just sticks.
Yeah.
All right, so let's jump into why we're all here, and we're here to talk about aliens and extraterrestrials in TV, film, video games, comic books, science, and in real life. And we talk about it in three areas on this podcast: the news, the sightings, feature, and our picks for the week. If you ever want to watch us live, we record Thursday nights. Just follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google Plus, and find out, and we'll put out the URL where you can find us, or watch us later at youtube.com/galacticnetcast. And also, before we jump into the news, got to remind you guys of a brand new feature on our website. If you like the news and can't get enough of alien-related news, you need something to tide you over between podcasts, we have something on the website, gncasts.com, called the Alien Invasion Report. So, I'm trying to get it out as much as I can, but the most you'll see it during the week is three times. So head on over to gncasts.com and check out the Alien Invasion Report. And speaking of news, let's do some news right now.
In the news.
And it looks like Brad has the first story tonight.
Yes, this was just announced at San Diego Comic-Con, which is happening as we speak. And this story comes to us from CNET.com. You can play as every... Okay, I'm going to point something out here to those of us who are Doctor Who fans. The character is the Doctor. And this title chaps my ass a little bit.
Well, obviously, before you say anything, obviously it's whoever wrote this is probably not familiar that much with the show and the way you're supposed to say certain things, I'm guessing.
Probably. But I can see some other inherent issues, and we'll talk about that in just a second.
Okay.
You can play as every Doctor Who in Lego Dimensions, and here's the latest trailer. Now, if you put in the headline, you can play every Doctor in Lego Dimensions, it doesn't have context. So I think that you could play as the Doctor from Doctor Who in Lego Dimensions.
Or you could have
better headline.
You could have said, like, every Time Lord in Doctor Who. But I guess that's a misnomer, too, because...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one if you want to please the geeks, the ones that are going to purchase said stuff. All right, let's get into the story. The Doctor has met a lot of interesting characters in his travels through time and space, and he's meeting a few more in the forthcoming game Lego Dimensions. The trailer is released in time for San Diego Comic-Con. The game is the first from Lego to feature characters from Doctor Who and unites various movies, TV shows, and comics in a fan-pleasing extravaganza of crossovers that would be impossible outside of the Lego world. Characters from Jurassic Park, Scooby-Doo, Back to the Future, and more join stars from DC Comics, The Lord of the Rings, and The Lego Movie. The current Doctor Who from the TV show, Peter Capaldi, provides the voice for his animated self. He's quoted as saying, "The demands and the ambition of the game makers have imposed upon themselves are very high. They've given themselves the task of creating something that's very entertaining, very exciting, and dramatic. If we're just going to use these characters as marketing devices that aren't particularly thought through or exciting, then no. But that's not where we are, and that's the really exciting thing." Now, I believe that quote would have been asking, you know, would you have done the project if it were of a lesser quality? But seeing the trailer, you get Elizabeth Banks reprising her role as the voice of Wildside from the Lego Movie. You get to see Patrick Stewart do the voice of Gandalf the Grey.
Nice.
From Lord of the Rings. And yes, Peter Capaldi does the voice of the Doctor. And they flip through all the different, and you can literally switch your character to be any of the Doctors. Now, they didn't get the voices of the other Doctors, but they did get Peter Capaldi. to do the current version of the Doctor.
So is this, what platform is this game on? Or is this?
It'll be Xbox 360, Xbox One, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4.
And PC.
And for PC, correct.
Aren't they also, aren't they all also releasing actual Doctor Who Legos this fall as well? Or is
yes,
it,
and okay. That's part of what's happening here is they've taken their licensing that they've obtained for the physical Lego product, and they're able to, through their contracts, put them into a video game version. So I think that's really smart. They've got, with the success that they've had with their other Lego games, to actually fully utilize as many of their properties as possible. Because, I mean, if you think about it, Back to the Future, yeah, you could do a few games, obviously, like they did with Indiana Jones, and do Back to the Future 1, 2, and 3. You could do that as a game. But there are other properties that you're not really going to have the opportunity to do that and have them all intermesh, because if you make a game of one character or character group, you're not going to appeal to as many people as possible. But here you get the people that love Back to the Future, the people that love Scooby-Doo, and they'll all buy it and they'll all want to play their favorite characters. So it's really, really brilliant marketing.
Oh yeah, definitely. So
everything is awesome.
Other Doctor Who news, they just dropped the season 9 trailer today as well.
And it is something to behold, and watch it if you can in HD on your computer or TV if you've got a app that plays YouTube, because it is very stunning.
Do you want to describe any of the things that kind of jumped out at you guys?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, you haven't. Brad?
I've been kitty sitting.
All cats all the time.
At least that's what people would gather from my Instagram and Facebook posts today.
I think we have a title for the episode. All cats all the time.
Okay, writing that down. Hang on.
Side note, I'm totally gonna make them a Catastic account, so they're gonna have their own social media platform.
Nice.
You're welcome.
That's something you gotta do, you know.
Anyway.
Yeah. So
Trailer.
We get to see Missy, the female master, come back, which is exciting. The Zygons come back, which...
Which ones are those?
They're the ones with the Time of the Doctor, the episode, the 50th anniversary. They were the shape-shifting beings that were wreaking havoc.
Oh, yep. Yeah, I remember them. Okay.
And they were an older Doctor Who villain that they, not necessarily revamped, but found a good vehicle to bring them back and have it make a lot of sense to do. So really, really kind of cool to have them come back. And I think that's going to be the episode where we get to see Osgood again, who supposedly died in the season finale of 8. Of season 8. So
how do you suppose they'll bring her back? Do you think she'll be
well, in the Time of the Doctor, the Zygon had copied Osgood. So now we're going to get the question answered: who died at the end of the last season? Was it Osgood or was it the Zygon?
Yep.
So that should be very interesting.
She's a fan favorite, so I'm sure that's
absolutely
one of the reasons they brought her back, is people love her.
There was such an outcry when she was killed unceremoniously in that episode, and everybody went, it's like somebody kicked a puppy like as hard as they could, and the Hooniverse collectively went, you can't do that.
Do you think they planned that? Do you think they plan to kill her and then bring her back?
No.
Okay.
It's Stephen Moffat. He doesn't care.
That's true. He's...
Oh, you love that character? I'm setting it on fire. You're welcome.
The one thing that I noticed was the Doctor's hair is longer, and he's got different clothes on a couple of scenes, I think.
Yeah, I think... And, you know, I'd be interested to get our UK co-contributor, Daryl Johnston, to kind of weigh in on that. But I kind of got the impression that Peter Capaldi was so serious and they had such a tonal shift from the past, you know, three Doctors, essentially, 9, 10, and 11. And there's more whimsy. There was more, slightly more fanciful, whimsical stuff happened. And then we got more into the harder sci-fi and a Doctor that's not quite as cuddly or as fun eccentric, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wonder, and I would love to hear the UK side of this, if they wanted to make him a little bit more likable.
That's high.
Because I'd be interested to see what their worldwide numbers for season 9 with the change of to Peter Capaldi, what happened.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good theory. It's a solid theory, Brad. Yeah, Daryl, I'm sure, will have something on this on the next Who Knew, which is the we tack it on at the end of this, but he won't be talking about the new trailer on the one that will be on the end of this episode, but probably the one that will be on the end of next week's episode. If you don't want to wait, just subscribe to the mega feed, and you'll get it in the mega feed. All right, cool. Doctor Who stuff. A lot of news coming out of San Diego Comic-Con, and if you want to keep up on some of it, well, we're not the best source. Like, there's a lot of better sources out there, but we'll put as much up as we can onto our website, gncast.com, as soon as it's all got to work out time-wise, convenience-wise. Like, I'm not on it all the time. I'll get on it when I can. That's basically what I'm trying to tell you guys.
That's what he said?
Twice.
Just stepped right into that, didn't I?
Yep.
All right, let's stick with the entertainment news. Let's talk X-Files. Mulder and Scully return in brief first footage from the new X-Files revival show. A couple days ago, Fox unveiled a trailer for the 201 Days of the X-Files, because on the 7th, which was Tuesday of this week, it marked 201 days until the show's return on January 24th, 2016. So that means starting July 7th, you can watch one X-Files episode per day, and then it'll time out that you'll watch the last one right before the premiere on January 24th. And it doesn't include the movies. So you have to squeeze in the movies where you can. So on this trailer, it just basically tells you all about that, but then at the very end, we get a sneak peek, just one small scene of Mulder and Scully back. They're back, baby. And I was excited because all the pictures I've seen Mulder, like, all in casual clothes. He's got like a beard and his hair's long. But in this scene, in this trailer, he's actually got a suit on and his hair is short. He looks like an FBI agent again.
Interesting.
And here's the line from that scene, from that snippet on the trailer. It says, "I'm more certain than ever the truth is in there," Mulder says, which I'm guessing in there means the X-Files, right? The truth
could
is
be
in there. And then, "I've heard the truth, Mulder. Now what I want are the answers," Scully says. So they're both searching the truth for the truth in the new X-Files series. Have you guys seen this trailer?
Not yet.
I have not.
Oh, shit.
I'm really bad about trailers lately. Like, no, I haven't seen anything. I'll read little blurbs about things, but...
Yeah, I guess if you read enough about it, you don't really have to watch the trailers, because most of the stories will describe what's going on in the trailer, like this story did.
Yeah. It depends on, like, the articles and stuff that you read. Some tend to have just, like, a small blurb, and then other people like to give you a play-by-play.
Mm-hmm.
Or a transcript.
and then you're always worried that you'll get something spoiled too, especially movie trailers.
Yeah, and I'm sure our listeners know, but I'll maybe watch the first couple of movie trailers for something and then I'll stop, because it just seems like the closer you get to the movie release date and the more trailers that are out there, the more they release about the movie. And I kind of like for things to be a surprise. If it's something that I'm interested in, if I have like no intention of seeing it, I don't care.
I'll play it by ear. I'll, like, depending on what movie it is. Like, I've wanted to see every single piece of Ant-Man footage there's been, because I don't really know much about the character. And what made me more excited about seeing Ant-Man was a recent clip that was leaked online showing a certain character that we didn't know was going to be in the movie. This character may not be in it, like, only for a little bit, but it's still exciting that this character might be in it at all.
Yes.
Do you know who I'm talking about, Brad?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do.
All right. X-Files, 201 days, get on it. Start watching them now. You're 2 days behind if you're not, or 3 days behind if you're, well, I guess depends on when you're listening to this podcast. You may listen to this in November, and you can be way behind November. So, all right, let's move on.
I've rewatched them a couple of times. I guess I could rewatch them again.
Yeah, get on it, Anessa, get on it. Okay, I've got two stories. I thought one entertainment story wasn't enough. Let's throw in a second one. And this is real short because it's Jeff Goldblum. He just launched a Facebook page, and it's basically to promote the new Independence Day Resurgence movie, because he posted a couple of things on there. Number one, he posted a picture of him with Liam Hemsworth. Liam's kind of like hanging out next to a futuristic jet-looking vehicle that I'm guessing is in the movie in Independence Day Resurgence, which they are filming now. But he also released a teaser trailer for Independence Day Resurgence, which is nothing. Like, there's no scenes or anything like that. It's just basically, what is the line? It says, I got to find it here. Oh, we're fighting for our right to live, to exist, which is from the presidential speech in the original film. And that's basically what they show in the teaser, and that's about it. So you're not missing much if you don't see this one, Anessa.
Okay. Sounds good.
But it's, you know, it's building excitement, and it's gave Jeff Goldblum a reason to start up his Facebook page, apparently, which I doubt it's him actually running it. I'm thinking it's probably somebody else.
Yeah, it's probably like a social media manager type person, PR. But you never know. There are a surprising number of celebrities who actually manage their own stuff.
I guess
when it comes to social media.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how interactive you want to be with your fans.
Right. And some of them interact with their fans to some degree, and then other times they'll have someone else post. But typically if it's someone else, they'll have like for Eddie Izzard, I think it's like the bees or something. I forget what he calls his group
mm-hmm.
that posts stuff for him. But you'll actually see whether it's Eddie or if it's his people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know a lot of celebs do that.
George Takei does. He posts on his social media sometimes, but it's mainly his guy.
Yeah. And Katie Sackhoff's kind of the same way. She usually does her own stuff, but sometimes she'll have her people post as well. So
posting.
Yeah.
That's got to hurt.
People posting.
To post people.
Well, you know, it depends on how you prop them up.
All right. So, yeah, very exciting stuff. Independence Day Resurgence, X-Files, and Doctor Who. We're heavy on the entertainment this episode. That's cool.
You know, my original story was going to be an entertainment story, and then I saw what the other two stories were, and I'm like, no, I'm going to be different. I'm going to talk about UFO files.
Okay.
From Germany.
Jump into it, Anessa. You're up.
All right.
You're up to bat.
So, Angela Merkel forced to release secret UFO files German government fought to withhold.
Oh.
And for anyone wondering who Angela Merkel is, she is a German politician and a former research scientist who has been the leader of the Christian Democratic Union since 2000. And the Chancellor of Germany since 2005. And she's the first woman to hold either office.
I didn't know that she was a scientist.
Apparently. I'm not sure what her area of study was or is. Actually, I take that back. I do.
Okay.
Physical chemist.
All right.
So, yep. So, anyway. Following a number of years of legal wrangling, the German Supreme Administrative Court in Leipzig ordered the German Bundestag to release confidential documents about UFOs that it had tried to keep hidden. The news had been welcomed by UFO researchers already buoyed by news that the UK Ministry of Defence, or MOD, will release 18 confidential UFO files to the National Archive next March, although it is still not known when they will be available to the public. In 2008, then-German Minister of the Interior, Dr. Wolfgang Schauble? I'm not sure. German is not my forte.
Schauble.
I'm like, Schauble? Insisted the German government had never investigated the topic and had no interest in doing so. However, 2 years later, Robert Fleischer of exopolitik.org discovered that the scientific service of the German parliament had a department investigating the possibility of extraterrestrial intelligence and UFOs. German blogger Frank Reidemeyer took the Bundestag to court, which fought against the release until now. Information which must be released is an international summary of facts of UFOs and the search for aliens, and details of United Nations resolution to set up an international UFO research agency. In a video statement, Lions Ground Entertainment Group, which makes paranormal films posted on YouTube, said, "The news is a breakthrough for all UFO hunters and UFO investigators. But others fear the records could be quite dry." One YouTube user said, "Call me cynical, but when a government is ordered to hand over docs, I'm skeptical the real original documents will ever be handed over." So, there you go. We're going to wait and see what's in these documents.
So, I hope that we get sometime a German fan to tell us how to pronounce German things. Like we have a British fan that corrects our British things. I have a feeling that we really slaughtered these German words and names.
Oh, I'm totally sure. And there's some poor German folk going, "Ein Minuten bitte," and then just yelling at his iPod or computer or something, or hers.
German, yeah. German sounds so mad. It's every word is just gruff and mad.
It's one of those things, like, if I learned German, I actually signed up for German, but then my mom threw a fit. So I dropped German and promptly signed up for Spanish. So, yeah, like, it's one of those languages that I wouldn't want to talk whenever I have a cold. And I'm sure it kind of varies between regions, because I'm sure there's different areas of German where the German sounds a lot more harsh.
Yeah.
So I just think it depends on the area and the accent. But it's just because Hollywood always presents German in such a way that it sounds so angry. Even if you're telling someone, "I love you," it's like, "I want to kill you."
So somebody out there,
I would love for someone who speaks German, whether you've studied it for years, native German speaker, have briefly lived over there, to call in, leave a voicemail, just even write an email and spell things out phonetically. That would be lovely.
Gmail.
I'm sure I've totally butchered everything, and for that I apologize.
GalacticNetcast@gmail.com, or voicemail number is 805-328-3966. If you're in Germany and you don't want to, can't call that number, or don't want to pay the fee or whatever, just go to our website, gncasts.com, and click on the leave us a voice message thing on the very right-hand side of the screen. And because we make it easy for you, and we would love to know how badly Inessa messed up those German names and words. So how do you guys feel about this, the German government releasing these documents?
I'm really curious to see if there's anything of interest in these documents, or if it's going to be like here in the state whenever we release documents and like 75% of it's going to be covered in Sharpie.
Yeah. Here, try to decipher something out of these four words.
Yeah. I'm really curious as to how forthcoming they will be with their information. Some countries are a little more open than others when it comes to disclosing information. The United States, we not so much.
No. Europeans are pretty good. Like, people in South America, the governments in South America, they're like really open.
They're like,
about
we're going to start a task force to research alien sightings, like UFO sightings. Go.
Yeah.
And the U.S. is like, they don't exist. Quit asking us questions.
Yeah.
Swamp gas. Nothing. Hot air balloon.
Yeah. No, it's temperature inversion is what it is.
I had swamp gas once.
Felt like I had swamp gas the other day.
Oh, damn it. That's even almost a better title than All Cats All the Time. Damn it.
Well, you could change it.
Yeah. We did
all cats with swamp gas all the time.
Yeah, that'd be the second title in a row that we've combined concepts into one brilliant title.
All swamp gas, all cats.
All right, cool. Hey, the British thing that you mentioned in the story, we put an article up on that this week on the Alien Invasion Files at gncast.com. And it sounds like it sounds like they've been releasing materials pretty regularly, but nothing earth-shattering yet. Although it sounds like the documents that they're going to release, the British government's going to release, pertain to things like Rendlesham Forest, which would be interesting to find out some new information on that.
Yeah, well, the article, I haven't read the article that you posted on our site, but it kind of sounds like it's going to be released, but not publicly yet. So it's going through the channels, and so the next channel will get it. And then I guess they'll decide from there when and if they will release it to the public. But it would be interesting to hear more about Rendlesham Forest.
Yeah, among other things. All right. Thanks, guys. We've got the sightings up next. But first, want to remind you that, and we mentioned it briefly, but you can leave us feedback by emailing galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. You can call our voicemail number, which is 805-328-3966, or again, go to that website, gncasts.com, and click on the Leave Us a Voice Message, just through the website or through your mobile device. And while you're on the website, don't forget to check out the Alien Invasion Files for more Alien Invasion-related news. All right, let's move on to our next feature, which is this.
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black, triangular, three-dimensional shape. Huge, just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects flying over me.
We had a dome. I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was almost circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
It's time for sightings. Where we run
I'm going to have to interrupt and ask Brad, is this Clyde Tombaugh, as in discovered Pluto in the 1930s?
Yes.
Tombaugh? Sweet. I'm excited. Okay, go.
Okay. The sightings feature, the sightings segment where we talk about a actual UFO sighting. And I don't know nothing. I don't know anything about the one that you picked this week, Brad. So just launch right into it. Tell us all about this certain sighting.
Okay, so Clyde Tombaugh, which Anessa's kind of jumped ahead here, but yes, he was the gentleman who discovered Pluto in 1930. He is, as you can tell, he's an astronomer that really made a name for himself in discovering Pluto. So when he had a sighting of a UFO, that was sort of a big deal. And he had an interest in UFOs. And in 1949, he did experience something. And this is from his own words. Excuse me. I saw the object about 11 o'clock one night on the 20th of August, 1949, from the backyard of my home in Las Cruces, New Mexico. I happened to be looking at zenith, admiring the beautiful transparent sky of stars, when suddenly I noted a symmetrical group of faint bluish-green rectangles of light similar to the Lubbock lights. My wife and her mother were sitting in the yard with me, and they saw them also. The group moved south-southeasterly, with individual rectangles becoming foreshortened, their space of formation smaller, at first 1 degree across, and the intensity duller, fading from view about 35 degrees above the horizon. Total time of visibility, about 3 seconds. I was too flabbergasted, too taken by surprise to count the number of rectangles of light or to note the other features I wondered about later. There was no sound. I have done thousands of hours of night star watching, but never saw a sight so strange as this. The rectangles of light were of low intensity. Had there been a full moon in the sky, I am sure they should not have been visible. And this is from a recollection from 1955. So 6 years later is when he even talked about this, even expressed this to somebody who wrote this down. So
you know what? If you're going to believe anybody, this is the kind of person that you want to believe. Because he's not going to mistake something that he thinks is like an unidentified flying object for a planet or something other celestial, not celestial, what? Another
celestial?
Yes, body. God. English language.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who spent a lot of time looking up at the sky. So if he sees something that isn't...
He's not going to get
normal.
Fooled by autokinesis. Yeah. He's not going to be fooled by the stuff that a standard non-scientist / celestial observer would get sucked in by or confuse as something else. So
Venus.
I'm sorry?
I said Venus.
Oh, that is not what I heard. Okay.
Venus.
Yeah.
Come on now.
So he did. And I'm going to save these for another time, but he did have two other experiences. So
wow,
interesting.
All within a 7-year period.
You know what? If it was scattered throughout his life, I'd be a little suspect. But if it was in a short period like that, that's kind of telling in a way.
Yeah, it's not something that, you know, he's seen as a child and then as a teenager and then as an adult. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just a 7-year period where he's seen a few things that he can't identify what they are, and that's what UFOs are.
I think it was the
flying objects.
I think it was the Plutonians, and they were trying to snuff him out for discovering his planet.
that very well could be,
but it didn't work because he's not still with us, is he?
He died in the 90s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he passed away in 97 at the age of 90.
Yeah.
Nice. And
he lived a long life.
Good timing that you brought this up, because that we have a probe.
New Horizons.
New Horizons approaching, and we got the best photo and video that we've gotten so far today of the planet, and one of the planet's moons, too, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very interesting, all the subtle changes that they've had to make to New Horizons because of the odd orbit that Pluto has, especially in relationship to some of the bodies that orbit it. So,
have we gotten pictures of Pluto before up close from a probe of some kind?
This is the first time.
No.
First time ever.
No, because the Voyager craft were nowhere near Pluto when they flew out to that general area.
That's cool.
So yeah, we are now living in a time where we are seeing the best video / photos possible.
Yeah, it's not just a fuzzy, misshapen dot that you see of Pluto, like images from Earth.
And they're at a point right now where it takes about 9 hours for a message to go from Earth to the probe or vice versa. So it's going to be a little while before it shoots out all the data for the really good images of Pluto. So,
and also are they making course corrections too?
They did make one. One of the course corrections happened while it was in safe mode, and then they did another slight change as well. Like I said, because of the odd orbit that it has in regards to its other satellites. So,
all right, cool. Well, thanks, Brad. Great sighting. Let's move on to, actually, before we move on to our picks, want to let you guys know that you can join the Galactic Collective. The Galactic Collective. I need some kind of like horns or like something grand when I say. There you go. The Galactic Collective. Thank you.
The Galactic Collective.
Go to gncasts.com, gncasts.com, and there's a little on the main page. There's a thing on the upper left-hand side that says "Join the Galactic Collective." You click on that, and the page will explain everything to you. It'll explain the different levels because we have a tier system basically. And you can go as far up as being a person that makes decisions for Galactic Netcasts. It's pretty cool. So all the details there at gncasts.com. Just click on that, join the Galactic Collective, and be part of a great community of fans, listeners, viewers, and followers. So let's jump into our picks. Looks like, according to the document, Anessa is going first.
Yay! Surprise! So my pick this week is a short story, a very short story, called Aliens Ate My Pickup.
I hate when that happens.
Which is, you know, partially true. Spoiler alert. Essentially, you've got this person living in Oklahoma on a farm, and he's out fishing one night on his land. He's got like a little pond there that he's loaded up with fish, and he sees these bright lights in the sky, but they only last for a really short time. And his first thought was, it's the weird neighbors that write sci-fi, but he called them and apparently they were at a sci-fi convention. So he ruled them out. And then the next day he discovers that his field has crop circles in it, and he's mad because now that chunk of crop's ruined because there was moisture in the air. So I guess that kind of damages the crop, dries things out when the sun shines, however that works. But anyway, totally ruined his crop. And then he discovers that there's an alien creature hiding under his porch. And I enjoyed the short story. I'm just going to leave it at that. He discovers this alien creature under the porch.
Can I ask you, does it ever get to the point of the title of the short story? Does that happen?
Maybe.
Okay.
Like I said at the beginning, I'm like, it's partially true. So as far as the aliens ate my pickup, and people will have to actually read the story. I found it on Amazon. It was $1. I don't mind paying $1 for an entertaining short story. Some people might have issue with the manner in which it's written. It sounds like the farmer is being interviewed by someone. So there's parts in the conversation where it sounds like he's responding to what they're saying. You can gather what they're asking and whatnot, just by what the farmer is saying. But the farmer has a very stereotypical Southern accent, which kind of bothered me a little bit. mostly because, you know, I did live a brief time in Oklahoma, very brief time, and I didn't really encounter people with that particular accent. I'm not sure if maybe if you get further out east towards Arkansas, if they start to develop more of that hick accent, as it can be found in East Texas. But yeah, that kind of bothered me a little bit, and that's just me being picky. But yeah, as far as the flow of things, that might kind of slow people down a little bit, but it is a quick read overall, and I enjoyed it. So,
what is it again?
Spend the buck and give it a listen.
What's it called again?
Aliens Ate My Pickup, and all it's right. By Mercedes Lackey.
Okay. I need to stop our picks for a second and throw in something. Our Galactic Netcast contributor, Gregor Sprague, has changed his profile pic And it's now a screen cap of Peter Capaldi as the Doctor playing an electric guitar wearing sunglasses. And we totally forgot to mention that. That's part of the trailer. You guys did you catch the part?
Oh, yes.
Okay. And he actually was in a band, I believe, at one time.
With Craig Ferguson.
Yeah, that's right.
Craigie Ferg's a badass.
Craigie Ferg.
So, anyway. Yeah. All right, let's. Who's next? Me. Yeah, me. my pick this week is, and we've mentioned this company time and time again. They're called The Asylum. They're a movie studio that specializes in making mockbuster films. These are basically riding the coattails of big Hollywood blockbusters.
And they have a few quote original, but they're just known for being really cheesy, hokey films.
Cheap. Their production value isn't that good, and it reflects in the special effects and visual effects used in their films. But my pick is American Warships, and I'm just going to ask you guys, what do you think this is, a tribute or an homage or a inspiration of another movie? What other movie is this supposed to be like?
Battleship.
Yes. You are correct.
You sank my battleship.
American Warships.
I'm sorry. You sank my American warship.
I have a lot to say about this movie. It's okay. It's not... okay, I'm going to compare it amongst the Asylum films. It's probably the best Asylum film I've seen, but it's still... you don't compare this to other mainstream films of this caliber, of this action-packed kind of genre films. And I can't believe I actually said this. I said this on Facebook when I was watching this. It stars Mario Van Peebles and Carl Weathers. And the shining star in this whole movie is Mario Van Peebles. He's actually really good.
Nice.
Like, you put a somewhat talented actor in a crappy movie, you really see how good they are. Like, It's like seeing the polished stone amongst the not polished stone. And it's I was really impressed with the acting of Mario Van Peebles, which I totally forgot about him. Like, I don't remember the last thing that I saw him in. Do you guys know anything that he's been in recently?
No. Good? No.
Okay.
Not off the top of my head.
And of course, Carl Weathers is he was in the Rocky movies, right? That's Carl Weathers?
Yes. He played Apollo Creed. He was also in Predator.
Okay. He was also very good. The established veteran actors were very good in this movie. So basically, it's about a... they stole some story ideas from other science fiction. Namely... Battlestar Galactica and an episode of Star Trek the original series because basically it's about a ship that it's a battleship. It's the USS Iowa, which sank in World War II. So right there, that's fiction. But in this timeline, the USS Iowa is still operating, but it's really, really old. It's a World War II battleship that's still in service, but it's about to be retired. So they're docked at South Korea, at one of the ports at South Korea, and it's being decommissioned. So it's going on one last cruise across the Pacific back to the States. And on the way, there's a group of women that are basically taking things apart and getting it prepared to be a museum ship. So you can see the comparison to Battlestar Galactica, because that was the original premise of the original miniseries, was it was being decommissioned and turned into a museum ship. And then the attack happened, so they had to go to war. And that's exactly what happened in this movie. It's the same premise as Battleship. These aliens appear out of nowhere, and they start, like, firing on people. And in this movie, we think it's the North Koreans, and we also think it's China. So China gets involved. They start suspecting us of being the ones firing on the territory, and it's kind of going back and forth. Like, you're almost, we're almost to the point of another war with North Korea and China, but luckily we find out the real reason. It's aliens, obviously, and these aliens you can't see. They've got some kind of force field up, some kind of like cloaking device. And let me ask you this, if this sounds familiar. When they fire, you can see them. So the cloak has to drop to fire their weapons. What does that sound like?
Klingon bird of prey.
Yes, Klingon bird of prey and Romulans from the original Star Trek, the original series. The what was that called? The one with the guy who would eventually play Spock's father, but he played the Romulan sub-commander. Balance of Terror. Balance of Terror is the episode title. So either inspired or ripped off portions of both Battlestar Galactica and Star Trek. Either way, that made for a good story. So, I mean, if you're looking for a fun movie that you really can't take too seriously, but you want to see some caliber, some really high caliber acting and actors, Mario Van Peebles and Carl Weathers, they're both very good in this. Check out American Warships. That is my pick this week. All right. Any questions before we move on to Brad's?
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Your sounds is intriguing.
Yeah. It is called Atomic Brain Invasion. And it was founded on Hulu Movies. So if you have a Hulu account, you can go into the movies section and you can find this wonderful, wonderful film.
Are you saying, are you being serious when you say wonderful?
That's my sarcasm voice.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm torn. I'm very torn on this, and I'll explain why. The movie was released in 2010, and it has a very tongue-in-cheek slash campy 50s feel to a sci-fi alien invasion type film. So it's a definite homage, if you want to take it that far, but it's a definite nod or takes a lot of its cues from that genre, from that time of sci-fi with the old black and white 50s movies. Now, this is a color film. There is somebody who plays Elvis in this film, and yeah, it definitely takes place in the late 50s.
Okay.
What ends up happening is a strange greenish light / comet comes streaking through. You kind of get to see it fly its path to Earth. So you get to see a few exosolar planets, and then you get to see, you know, Saturn and the moon, and then it hits the Earth and immediately kills a teenager who's in the woods necking with her sort of boyfriend. And the tone is immediately set. The strange tube opens, and it literally, it's a tube. It's not a spacecraft of any sort. It looks like somebody had taken a lead pipe and put a fancy end cap on it that could allow it to flip open like some of the newer water bottles you see now, and it just flips open.
Great. And convenience.
This goop explodes from it and lands in this guy's face as he's looking over the tube, because that's what you want to do. When something has just blown up this girlfriend, you're trying to take beyond second base, as it were. And you see that it's starting to eat his face away.
Oh.
Elvis is traveling through this area. There's a cutaway, and Elvis is going to sing in this little podunk town. And the guy that's playing Elvis does a very interesting interpretation of 50s Elvis. Doesn't look... They didn't even get an Elvis impersonator, someone that looked really good like him or sound like him. It's close-ish, sort of, maybe?
He's got the spirit of Elvis Presley?
He's got the spirit of Elvis. We'll go that far. Wackiness ends up ensuing. These creatures, this goo, and how these aliens sort of, it's weird. It's not like aliens take over the body. It's this goo. Somebody gets hit in the face with this goo, and eventually their heads, and this is where the atomic brain portion comes into play. Their heads soften, and they can actually rip their faces, their heads, their skulls off. And what you see is the brain, the eyes, and sort of the spine, spinal column, and the nerve structures that go down the spinal column. And it's creepy and cheesy. I mean, the brains aren't the right size. The movements of the actors, they've got like a sort of a harness over their heads. So they've got their shoulders kind of pushed up as high as they can go. And their arms are waggling about. It's very, very strange and very in keeping in the spirit of the 50s type movies. Now, the reason why I was torn is I think that there is a difference between doing an homage and really striving to be cheesy. Now, I don't think that the films of the 50s were intentionally trying to be cheesy, but at the point now where we've gone through that era and we've made newer sci-fi films, we know what a sci-fi film can be. We know that good acting is appreciated in these types of films. We get good actors and actresses to be in them. So you can definitely make a good quality movie, I think, that still keeps with the 50s aesthetic without bringing the cheese into play. So that's why I was kind of torn. Either it's a really good homage intentionally trying to be cheesy, or it's just really poorly acted and it just becomes cheesy. I'm not exactly sure where it lies in that regard. But like I said, if you've got a Hulu account, you can check it out. I don't know how long it's going to be in there. I just noticed it recently, and I think it's been about 6 weeks since I've checked Hulu movies. So it's come in not too long ago. So, and it's called The Atomic Brain Invasion. I give it 2.5 out of 5 flying saucers. How's that?
I thought we were doing a probe. We were basing our recommendations on probes.
Okay, then I give it 2.5 probes out of 5.
No, you can... Okay, no, go ahead. And I like the flying saucers better. Let's do it that way.
2.5 probes just sounds really unpleasant.
I'm not sure I could even fit one. What?
We're turning into an adult program here.
If you become a Patreon member, you get the adult version of the alien invasion.
Just go to gncast.com and click on that. Join the Galactic Collective. All right.
So there you go.
All right.
If you've got an hour and a half to kill and you want to see some cheese, this is for you.
Okay. So Atomic Brain Invasion was Brad's, American Warship was mine, Warships, and Aliens Ate My Pickup, a short story, was Inessa's. And we'll, of course, have the links to the picks on the show notes of the podcast and at gncasts.com. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of The Alien Invasion. But first, couple of things. We are available on iTunes. We're available on Stitcher. On both those platforms, if you like what you're listening to, if you like what you're hearing, please leave us some kind of positive review. That helps us get even more listeners, the more recommendations. You know how it works. Recommendations help your business or help get more listeners, subscribers, people taking part, that kind of thing. So please leave us some good reviews. We also have a very convenient subscription page at our website, gncast.com, with all the right links to go to get our podcasts on whatever platform you are listening to them on. All right. Final thoughts. Brad, as always, you're first.
We have kittens. Yes, we do. We've got kittens. How about you?
Are you going to... of course, you put pictures on your Instagram account, right, Inessa?
Yes.
And people can follow you on Instagram at
Muyeens. M is in Mary, O O Y E E, N is in November, S is in Sam. And I'm sure people probably wonder where Muyeens comes from.
Well, we've talked about this before.
I think I've mentioned it before, but I was in Mexico, and that's how they said my name in Spanish.
Oh, I thought it was a drunk coworker trying to say your name, and it sounded like Muyeens.
Nope. Oh. I was flying out of Juarez, and the ticket agent was calling my name, and it took a second to register that she was calling me, because in Spanish, the two L's make the Y sound. And of course, like M-U-L-L-I-N-S, Mullins, last name, in Spanish reads as Muyeens. And that's where that comes from.
All right.
Ta-da.
We learned something new.
So, anyway.
Was that the cat thing? Was that... No, you didn't have a final thought yet. Go ahead.
That was my Instagram. If people want to check out the cats, eventually I will have an account on Cattastic app for them. It's like Instagram for cats.
I didn't know that was such a thing. I learned something new.
I didn't either. And then Michelle sent me a message a few days ago that she had created an account for her cats and said that I should probably do the same. I'm like, sure.
All right.
Crazy cat people. I'll totally join in.
All right.
So, oh, final thought. I've had this song in my head all day. So, we all live in a yellow submarine.
Yellow submarine. We got to be careful because we might get pulled off of YouTube just for that. So,
It's short enough.
All right.
It's not like I'm singing the entire thing.
That's true.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. And as always, appreciate it. Until next time, we will talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Who knew? A brief collection of gossip, news, and rumors transcending space and time. Some Series 9 news for you. Apparently, the Doctor is going to be less of a curmudgeon. I don't know about you, but I'd already warmed to him. Now, I'm sure I've mentioned this before, but just in case I haven't, Rachel Talahay will indeed be directing the final two episodes. There are some props abound if you're going to Comic-Con. Check out the BBC America booth. You might be one of the lucky 168 people to get yourself a laser-etched replica of Peter Capaldi's sonic screwdriver. Comic-Con, you get so many lovely treats. I'm hoping that we get a little snippet, a little teaser, a little trailer. Who knows? Although, seems they have been doing some filming as it slowly winds down. I see that it's in Cardiff Castle. Well, in the tunnels, to be sure. And who is this actor in a dressing gown and grey trousers? They've hidden his face. Who knows? So, what's Peter Capaldi been saying about Jenna Coleman? Well, he's been saying that he hopes she will stay for season 10. Oh, Peter, please no, Peter. He's been saying that the fans should expect a little something from the Doctor and Clara following their reunion in last Christmas. He's actually been quite busy on the old gossip front as Mr. Capaldi, because he's revealed that the Time Lord will make a cataclysmic error in the first two episodes. What's this? Daily Mirror? For those of you who are in the know, the Mirror is a red top rag in the UK. I wouldn't eat my fish and chips out of it. They have done a spoilerific thing. Who knows? It might be true. Now, what we may or may not know, according to CD93, my spoiler hound from over on Digital Spy, well, he's basically written absolutely everything that you could possibly want to know, which is, well, rumours, truth, gossip, news, transcending time and space. Oh, sorry, I was in a in a daisy. If you want to see what he has compiled, check out the show notes, along with all of the shots from filming and little stories. Speaking of little stories, a book called The Scientific Secrets of Doctor Who has been released. It is an anthology of short sci-fi stories with a little bit of science thrown in. It's all a bit, well, it's all a bit, is it, isn't it, maybe, will it? I'm not sure anymore, but then again, yeah, I wouldn't listen to me either. So, because of Comic-Con, I guess it's a shorter than ever little minisode this week. However, we'll be back next week with another net bite. This Galactic Net Bite has been brought to you by ImperialSteam.com. Why not follow me on Twitter at ImperialGnome? Email me at ImperialGnome@gmail.com. Or look me up on Facebook. Or just ask my Galactic Netcast friends how to contact me.
You have been listening to a production of Galactic Netcasts. For more about the show you just listened to, including how to subscribe and give us feedback, plus additional podcasts from the Galactic Network, daily news features, videos, links to our social networks, and more, go to gncasts.com. That's gncasts.com.